Good to see you, and thanks for being out on a Sunday evening, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for Sunday nights and the privilege we have to come together as a church family, and Father, just to come and to lift our hearts before you, and just to you open the scriptures to us that we may know the truth. And Father, I thank you for your blessings, and I do pray for this church that we're focused on you, to go forth and to share the gospel with those that we meet and to give them the good news. In your name I pray, amen. We are in the book of Acts chapter 11 tonight, verses 1 through 18, if you'd like to follow with us. But on August 9th this past year, you may remember on that Sunday morning, wherever you may have been, it was a 5.1 magnitude earthquake in Sparta. I remember I was upstairs actually finishing, reading back through my notes and all before Sunday morning service, and all at once the room began to shake and a couple pictures fell off the bookcase as the magnitude of that earthquake shook the house. And you may remember that at your place, as it may have shaken you that morning if you were out of bed early. And as God had shaken the earth, and the earthquake was near Sparta, actually about 26 miles out of Boone. But it's interesting that it was felt here in Yadkin County. It was felt in Charlotte and 100 miles beyond. The epicenter, though, in Sparta was about 200 miles out, was where it reached. It reached far beyond where it began. And many businesses were damaged there, and gas lines there, and water lines in Sparta. But the epicenter there, but sent the magnitude, sent it beyond its borders. And that's exactly what we look at today in the scripture here in Acts 11. We've seen Cornelius's family and neighbors there meet the Lord Jesus Christ and to be baptized. And now Peter has left from Cornelius. He has left to go back to now see the disciples. And we see that here in verse 1. It says, "The apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard of the Gentiles and also received the word. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem," so he has departed, now going forth to speak to the disciples and to share with them. And it's almost like an earthquake, because what has taken place in Caesarea, what has taken place at the Pentecost in Cornelius's home, what has taken place there now has gone back to Jerusalem, and it will begin to radiate to the world. It will not only push the borders of Jerusalem and out into the outer lying areas of Judea, but it would go forth from there into the out of Israel and then on beyond into the uttermost parts of the world, just as Christ had said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that it shall begin here, and it shall go forth into the uttermost ends of the earth. And it is the beginning of the giant earthquake, and that's exactly what we see here. What the ground has been shaken, and it is actually pushing forth the gospel into all the world. And that's the power of these chapters here in Acts 9 and 10 and 11. We see the gospel coming to life for everyone who may hear. And Peter's going to actually recant his story here to the disciples, and he's sharing with them. And anything that I have learned in studying and reading the Bible and reading scripture is the fact that anytime anything is repeated, it is very important. It's very important that we listen, and very important that we read, and very important that we understand. And that's what we have here, is a recant of Peter's story to the disciples as he's sharing with them. But I want to see that we read a couple verses here. It says, we read verse 1, it says, "He came to Jerusalem, and those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, 'You went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them.'" And that's kind of the story to understand right here. He's come back to the disciples, and they're seated there with him, and he begins to share with them. He begins to, actually, the Greek language says it was a back and forth discussion. It was very investigative. They were wanting to know what is going on. He has news to tell, the good news to tell, and they begin to question him. They begin to say, "What are you talking about? As a Jew, you should have never gone with the Gentiles. You should have never gone in the home of a Gentile. You should have never been a part of what you're telling us." And he says, "Let me just talk to you a minute. Let me share with you what took place, that you may understand what took place before you pass judgment." And I think we have to be aware of that too as well, as we hear, and we hear testimonies and we hear people's stories. Before we pass judgment, or before we judge them in our own eyes and our own minds, we need to hear the story and to hear how it relates to God, and how the miracle of God can change people, and how the encountering of God changes lives. We listen to that. We listen to that story, because the gospel is for all people. It is given right here. And Peter begins to explain in verse 4, "But Peter explained to them in order from the beginning and saying," so he's recanting his story that he is told as he went to Cornelius' home. Cornelius has recanted his story, and now here we are, he's now telling disciples the same story. He says, I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance, and I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet that was let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I asked, Not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered again, saying from heaven, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, and doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us, He had seen an angel standing in his house, and who said to him, Send men to Joppa, and call Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you the words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and upon from the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God. And when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. What a powerful message. Peter is sharing his story with the disciples. He's sharing what took place in the home of Cornelius, what took place in his life, how he led and saw people come to Christ. If you remember last week, as Peter was even preaching his message, if you remember, Cornelius stopped him. They stopped at that moment and were baptized because they found the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. And that's kind of what I want us to see today is Peter's story. But really to take from this is what God has cleansed is not unclean. And that's, I just want to see a little bit here of how God's cleaning took place here and the parts of it. There are five of them. And we see that God makes unclean things clean. We see that in verse 5, and he gives for us. He reminds us, as we kind of just look at it together, I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance, and I saw a vision descending of the sheets were let down of heaven in the four corners, and they came unto me. What God has cleansed and what God has set clean is clean. That we all, and you got to think about the Jewish laws here, what it's saying. First of all, he should have never been in the home there, but is partaking of food. The food and the dietary process of the Jews was very strict. It was very strict indeed. And what was cleansed was cleansed. And you can read of those in the Old Testament is what they were given to eat and what they were given to dine on. And it still is today. When I was in Israel years ago, I remember that when we would go into breakfast or whether it was lunch or whether it was dinner, it was obeyed. The dietary laws were still carried forth today. And that's what the menu. Now, they had a menu set aside for, I guess, us from America to eat, but they maintained their dietary laws. And as we flew over on Israeli airline, El Al, the same applied on that plane to what the Jews could eat as they obeyed the dietary laws and obeyed the customs and obeyed the rules to which they had been given. And here Peter has crossed the barrier. He has crossed over the barrier from Judaism, from being the Jew of the clean animals and what is clean to eat and clean to be around, is now in the home of a Gentile being told that he can eat anything. And that's what he's sharing with the disciples. But what God makes unclean, he makes clean is no longer unclean. And that goes to us too in sharing the gospel. So we sometimes narrow down our way of sharing, or we narrow down the people that need to know, but it is for all people to hear Jesus Christ. I had the opportunity this past week, a young family over, they live in East Bend, and I had taken them, he just needed some help, and I had taken them a grocery cart and spent some time with them. They're having a baby, and the pregnancy is not going well, and I met him actually by mistake, but I began to pray with him. And this past week, he called me and said, could you come pray with me and my wife? And they're struggling not only financially, but the child is not well, and they're not sure what's going to take place. And they go back to the doctor, and they're having to make trip after trip to the doctor, which they don't have the money to go to the doctor. But anyway, we met and we prayed. And I think about that and the struggle they're having physically and in their lives, but they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it was to have him to call and say, can you pray with me? He's not a believer, and his wife's not a believer at all, and they're involved in no church. But to see where God's opened the door, it is open to all people to hear Jesus Christ. What God has cleansed has been cleansed. In verse 11, we see another example of God's cleansing. At the very moment, three men stood before the house, and I was having been sent to me from Caesarea. That's the second part is he left with these Gentiles. He should have never gone, and that's what the disciples told him. You should have never gone with them. It says the apostles told him, they came to get you, and you should have never even gone with them. But he did. He was obedient, because I want us to look down to what it says. As we a little bit further down in the passage, it says in verse 17, how could I withstand God? What God had told him to do, he was obedient to do. He asked no questions. God did not have time for questions. He said, pack up and go, and he left. And I often think about that too, as we're called to go to the people we meet there that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, whomever they may be. That we go, how can we withstand God? We have the good news to tell, therefore we are to tell it. It's like Peter, how could he not go? How could he not go to Cornelius' house? How could he not go and meet them? How could he not go and reach out to this family that needed Jesus Christ? And I think of that of the families in our community and the families that are around us that just need Christ. We live in a chaotic and darkened world, but we have the good news to tell, just as Peter made his way. But what God has cleansed, these men he had cleansed, we see that also in Cornelius' home. He should have never gone into this home, and Peter did. Peter broke those boundaries to go in to share the gospel. He broke the boundaries because he says, how can I withstand what God has called me to do? And that's where he's recanting this story. He's telling the disciples, and they are doubting what he's saying until he begins to say. Peter is a great man among these men, and a great man of stature around wherever he is, because just the fact that Cornelius had Peter to come into his home, what a great miracle that was. They hear Christ. Cornelius' family, in verse 15, we see it. What God has cleansed is no longer unclean, because it says, and I began to speak, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. That's what he's saying. You remember? Do you all remember back at Pentecost? Do you remember back when the Holy Spirit came upon us? If you'll go back to Acts chapter 2, we'll see that picture. We'll see the very picture, and he's reminding them of that. Do you remember that? He's taking them back to understand the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it says in chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were seated. And there appeared upon them divided tongues of fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. You notice this, what he says to them? Do you remember that day? Do you remember when we were in the upper room and we were waiting? We were told to wait, and by Jesus had said for us not to leave until the Holy Spirit came upon us, and we were seated there and we were waiting and waiting and waiting. And here the room was filled. Do you notice he says that? Do you remember that day? Do you all recall it? And it's kind of like us. Do you recall the day that you met Christ? Do you recall the day that you found Jesus Christ, or that night, whether it was revival or you were at home by yourself or you were in a service? Do you recall that moment in your time that you found Jesus, and what your life was like before and what it's been like since, that you take that message to them? That's what he's saying here. God has cleansed it. He has cleansed it because he has set us aside to serve faithfully. And that's the last thing we see is the reason to know that God is in this. It says in verse 16, if you look with me, it says, then I remembered the word of the Lord, and he said, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of God, he had filled them to preach to all people. The epicenter of the earthquake had begun to shake. It was shaking the ground from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And by vehicle, that's not very far. Walking, it is a great distance. Caesarea sits by the sea. It's down in a lower elevation. Jerusalem is in the mountain. He had to make his way on that journey from the seashore to the mountaintop to share this message, to bring the message to light for these disciples. It says they began to confront him and began to doubt what he said, and they began to question. It was a back and forth discussion. But you notice how Peter brings it to them? You notice he recants his story, and then he says to them, "Do you remember? Do you remember that day? Do you remember when Christ, when we were filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you remember when the Holy Spirit came upon all of us? Do you remember that we went from that port and began to preach? Do you remember that? We opened the gospel to all people. We opened that gospel to all people." And that's what, as Christians and as a church, that we're called to do. We're to never get our focus off what we're called to do. We're not called to do anything but share the gospel. That's what we're reminded. We do good deeds in the community. I believe that. I believe we do great things, and we help others and help our neighbors, and we give in a tremendous way. And our young men have been busy and helping out through Impact. And actually, in the past 4 weeks, I think we've done about 3 roofs and a couple wheelchair ramps and just helping people and cut some wood. And we got some more of that to do along the way. And those are great things. But we must never get our eyes off the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we must never take our eyes off the picture that we're given here from Peter. He said, "Do you remember?" What else do we see that's cleansed by God? In verse 17, it reminds us, it says, "If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave us the same." You think what it says? God gave them the same gift he gave us. All Christians, all individuals are made clean in the relationship of Christ. He cleanses. He cleanses from the inside out. He cleans our hearts and our souls and our minds when we find Christ. You find that not powerful? That's what he says here. Everyone, God gave them just as he gave us. You got to think sometimes the disciples, you know, they struggled. Remember James and John, they struggled with wanting to be the greatest. They were wanting to be the most well-known. And you had Matthew there, the man known in town. And you had Simon the Zealot there, the great political activist that was there. And I'm sure his voice was boisterous and known in town. These people knew who they were. And you got to think about them sometimes. Did they think, hey, we're the disciples. We're the disciples. No one else has this role. We have been with Jesus. We were with Jesus at the ascension. We were with Jesus when the tomb was empty. We were with Christ. And they're the ones to be looked at. And that's what he tells them. It's not us, guys. It's not us at all. It's what Jesus has done for us. And that's what he says here. God has given them the same gift as he gave us. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We have received here in 2021 the same gift that God gave them, to be filled with that same Spirit, to go forth and to share Christ with all people, with everyone. Jesus says that in Matthew 28, and as I said in Acts chapter 1, he says that over and over to remind us that the gospel is for all people, and that anyone can be made clean by God, whomever we are. Whatever we have done, whatever our past is, whatever baggage we carry, whatever sins that we bear on our shoulder, whatever hurt and suffering we may have caused to other people, it does not matter, because God can cleanse us in that relationship with Christ when we are filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what I mentioned this morning. What are you filled with in your identity in Christ? Do you say that you're a Christian, but you're still filled with the world, and you're still filled with that anger and that bitterness and that hurt, and you're still filled with that animosity toward other people, and you're still filled with whatever there is there? You've got that temper and you can't get rid of it, and you bear that load. That's what the Scripture teaches us. Get rid of that and be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, we see the example here that he said, "I cannot withstand God, for I am filled with God, and therefore all must hear Jesus Christ." This is such a powerful gospel message delivered by Peter to his disciples. He brings it to life here. And I was thinking about the application of tonight in this journey, and because from this point on, Scripture changes. It's changing. The earthquake, the epicenter is changing. It's shaking the ground. It's shaking the lives of these people. It's changing them to be the individuals to be called to serve the Lord. They're changing to be different people. Because if you notice, and we read the Scripture here, that we begin the missionary journeys, we begin the outreach process, we begin the journeys of sharing Christ unto the uttermost. We've seen it in Jerusalem. We've seen it spread a little bit into the deserts with Philip. We've seen it push into Caesarea and there in Joppa. We've seen it just kind of confined to that area, and now it goes into the uttermost. It's here that the epicenter begins to shake the world. Just like the small earthquake that took place in Sparta, it shook the world here in Yadkin County, and it shook Charlotte, and it shook 100 miles beyond. And that's what's happened here. It not only shook Jerusalem and shook Judea and shook into the, it then began to shake the world because these men would be filled with the Spirit of God. Can you imagine that when Peter had left Cornelius' home, what Cornelius was like in the city, what it was like there? He is now left in Caesarea to begin to preach the gospel. Can you imagine that this man's home began to have began a church, or they began a Sunday school meeting, or they began a Bible study, they began a prayer time, they began a worship time in that home, inviting the neighbors, and began to bring the neighbors in to share the gospel of Christ and to change the world? Because Peter had left him, he left Cornelius to do the work. He left him there filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think about the applications in what we have and what we see, and I really think about that as we see here, is that God never leaves us where we are. He never leaves us where we are. When we accept Christ and we begin that journey as a Christian and our hearts and our lives are changed and we are filled with the Spirit of God, our lives are never the same. And in a few weeks, I want us to do a kind of a series here on lives being transformed with God. People that met Jesus, what did it do to their lives? How did it transform their lives? What took place in their lives when they found Christ? And that's what we see here. You see, it says in verse 18, "And when they heard these things, they became silent." I think about what went through the minds of these men. Do you think they probably thought, "Peter, what are you telling? You're telling us that it is okay for us to go into the home of the Gentile, that it's okay to partake, that it's okay to be different. You're saying that, is that what you're saying, Peter?" And then they may have sat there saying, "You know, Peter, I can't believe what you're saying. It's hard for me to fathom. It's hard for me to even understand it because our customs and our lives have always been different, and now it's changing. And now it's changing, and change is very hard. We've watched change take place in the past year. A lot of things have changed. They're not the same as they were. They're different than before. We hear a lot of talk about when life returns to normal. Well, what was normal? To all of us and to the generation that's been in the last year, our students, they've almost become normal to this. We as older people do not. But it's different. But we have to acclimate to those changes and stand forward and forthright in the gospel of Christ. That doesn't change. And that's what he's reminding them here. It has changed. Times are changing because the gospel is for everyone. There is no one unclean. There is no one that doesn't need Jesus Christ. There is no one that cannot be filled with the Spirit of God by believing in the Savior. There is no one, for it's open to all. And they heard it, and they were silent. But you notice what took place? It says, "And they began to glorify God." They began to honor God in their lives. He's telling them, "You're no longer going to be the same. It is never going to be the same in your life, and it's never going to be the same in sharing Christ, and it's never going to be the same in delivering the gospel. It's going to be different. The world is open to us. We must step forward and go." And they begin to glorify God and honor God and shout to God. And then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. What good news for us, isn't it? That each of us in this room, if we've accepted Christ, that we have the privilege of repenting and finding Jesus Christ and finding a relationship in Him and watching our lives change. That we are no longer unclean, but we have been cleansed. Our hearts are different. Our lives are different. The transformation in our lives have changed us to be faithful warriors for the gospel. And that's what Peter took back to the disciples. It says he went back to the disciples and began to tell them. He began to share with them. He began to say, "My world has been turned upside down. My world has changed forever. Will you change with me? That's what he says. Will you change with me? Do you understand the change I'm saying to you? And do you see the command that we have before us and the duty and the work that we have to do, that we cannot sit here in the city of Jerusalem? We cannot sit here and do nothing. We are called to go forth. And I think about that in our own churches as we're having the week of prayer through our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You have a missionary to pray for today, and we'll pray for a different missionary and the countless thousands that are serving. But their lives have never been the same since. They left to go to the mission field and wherever God has taken them. And the same for our lives in this room. We're different because we've been filled with the Spirit of God. And we say this as we close: who am I that I could withstand God? And that's the truth. Who are we to question Him? Who are we to question God? And who are we to stand in fear? And who are we to not go forth? And who are we not to take Jesus to that person that we know and love? And who are we not to go knock on that door or just to say, do you know Jesus Christ? That's what we've been told to do. Right here, it is reiterated and emphasized, and the groundwork is there, to be filled with the Spirit. And John was baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and therefore go forth and to teach repentance of life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the disciples, and I thank you for Peter, and I thank you for opening his eyes, Father, and filling him with the Spirit of God, to which he would go back to teach his brethren, and Father, then they would be filled to glorify you and to go from that place at that time to change the world for Christ. They would never be the same as the message of Jesus began to radiate and multiply from that point. The epicenter of the earthquake was there, but it began to radiate from Caesarea to Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And that, Father, we today, that we have the privilege to carry forth the same gospel, to be filled with the same Spirit, and to be commanded to go and to share Jesus Christ. Father, a turning point in Scripture, a turning point in the history of mankind, because you revolutionized a group of men to go forth. And I pray, Father, we're as faithful today in this church, that we're challenged and revolutionized to go forth and share Christ, that we're not caught up in the mundane of the world and the what goes on in the world and, Father, just the routine of life, that we're filled with that Spirit and to go forth to share Jesus. Father, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for these men who were challenged. And I pray that we have the same challenge before us. Who are we to withstand God? Who are we to question? We're called to go forth. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.